The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
This episode is brought to you by Libsyn. Planning to start a podcast? Look no further than Libsyn. Libsyn is one of the biggest feature-rich podcast hosting platforms in the world. Libsyn is IAB certified, offers many hosting plans, and you can start for as low as $5 a month. Aspiring podcasters who listen to the show radio can get 1 month free by using the promo code TSR. Use promo code TSR at checkout to get 1 month free. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. This is episode 588 of The Show. I'm your host, Andrew.
And I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. This episode, we're going to be talking about the Nintendo Direct E3 2021. Some of the things that we saw there. Some of the things that we enjoyed. And Daniela, I'll have you start. How are you? How's everything?
Good. Good. It's kind of interesting, this E3 stuff.
Okay.
Got some thoughts on it. But okay. You know what? Today I really enjoyed. You know, it was short. It was the ending. It's a nice summation of it. So I will say this. You know what? You know, the last several years, I've always liked Nintendo's presentations. But it's kind of like, I just thought their stuff was cool. This year, there's like quite a bit of things that I'm stoked and excited about. So
okay, all right. So I definitely enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed it from afar, you know. And I have to hand it to them, as I was sharing with you. Nintendo has mastered, and these are your words. They have mastered the iconic sounds that they put out over the years, and you have to hand it to them. Whether you like the lane that they're in, and it's their own. You have to give it up for him for everything that day too. So I'm really happy with how things turned out for the Nintendo stuff. And I enjoyed everything I saw. I mean, it's jam-packed, a lot of dope games, and we'll cover a good portion of them. And the list was longer than I expected, actually, just looking at it now. So at the very top, I'll say this. Any thoughts before we go in? Any things that you want to share? What's going on with you?
No, nothing too crazy. I think after we're done recording here, I have to go to a barbecue and just chill for the rest of the night. So nothing crazy.
Nice. That's dope. Yeah. So Nintendo Direct, always excited, to see what they are going to show us. We're thinking about if PlayStation is going to show anything at all, as you mentioned, before we started recording, what's the state of the game as it relates to PlayStation stuff, but this particular episode is dedicated for the Nintendo stuff. So at the very top, I'll pick a couple of the ones that we saw. We'll go down the list and you let me know what you thought, and then we'll go from there. So first one, Super Smash Brothers Cross Tekken, that was on at the very top. Then Life is Strange True Colors, Life is Strange Remastered. Thoughts on those things? Did you expect that at the top, or what are your thoughts?
I did. I mean, Super Smash Brothers, they always are going to have content for it and people are going to be stoked about it. So until they actually, you know, do an announcement for the next, you know, series of Smash Brothers, they're going to have new heroes. And I think people really look forward to that. So that's kind of like their status quo. So it's pretty cool that You know, they have Kazuya, the introduction of him and his abilities. And, you know, they have a really cute way of doing it, because when it comes to Tekken, it's kind of, you know, it's an iconic fighter that has been around for so long. It has this unique style and look to it. So that to see that in Super Smash Brothers, I thought it was awesome. I don't play a whole lot of Smash at all. I'm terrible at fighters. But I love the mashups that they do. And I love, like, you know, how people speculate. It's like that's part of the joy of it outside of the game. People having those conversations, those speculations. Who do you think it would be cool to have in there? What abilities would they have? What would they be like? So that's always nice. So, of course, I expected it. I think that's like just one of the common things. Like, you know that they're going to announce a new character.
Yeah, it looks really, really dope. I was just wondering, do they actually tease? Because I know Samurai Showdown does this, and most of the games, I guess they would do this to some degree, kind of tease the next character that's going to be in with kind of like a silhouette on socials kind of vibe. Do they still do that? Did they do that for Smash?
I don't know about if they did it for Kazuya. Because I don't play regularly, so I'm not as invested into that community, but I know in the past I've seen it.
They
did it for Kazuya.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that, all right. Yeah. So it seems like that's a thing that most of the games in the FGC, that seems like some of the things that they do, where if a character is going to come out, they kind of give you like a silhouette kind of post on social media as they gear up to announce. But one of the things that I like that you mentioned is how they frame the art and graphics of a character from one game and infuse that into the Nintendo Smash world is like absolutely amazing, right? And it looks like it belongs there. Like the character looks like they belong there. So I love how they do that for every character that they introduce. So that's that for Smash. I really love what I saw there. And I'm sure the Smash FGC world, they're pretty stoked about that. And Tekken, as you mentioned, this game has been around for a long time. I don't even know what number they're on. Seven, eight, or nine? It's at least seven, right?
Somewhere.
It's at least seven. I'm not sure if they did any.
Yeah, we're at seven.
You're at seven now. Okay, yeah. So a dope series, absolutely iconic characters on that front. Life is Strange, you've played that, right?
Yeah, I have. And they're just going to port it to everywhere so that everybody can experience it. And you know what? It's one of those series where I feel like if you've got time, definitely give it a try. It's very, their entire series, True Colors, the recent remaster, the original series, really pulls at your heartstrings. It's a really great story. So that's really a surprise.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you can put, unless the next announcement is going to be putting it on to the new Intellivision Amico. I don't know, but I feel like it's on everything now.
Right. So that's dope. So a couple of fast ones here. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, which we saw earlier this week. And then you have Worms, Rumble, Astria Ascending. Any thoughts on those?
It's been a while since I've played a Worms game. I spent a lot of time in my computer lab playing Worms with friends. So this one, I kind of like just like missed the other ones. Seeing Rumble, though, I don't know. It looked pretty fun. It looked pretty cool. Not a day one for me, but if I see it on sale, you can get some friends to play with, I think I might actually just dive into that.
Yeah. So seeing Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy for the second time around, it's growing on me. I think at first I was trying to find a reason not to necessarily look at it as fast as I would, because I like the universe and I know that that movie series has done amazing things, you know, just for the culture and stuff like that. So seeing it for the second time, I'm like, you know what? It's growing on me. I'm digging what I'm seeing with Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm kind of happy about that.
It definitely hit me a lot better than seeing the Avengers. Like when I saw the announcement, the trailer, the release of Avengers, like, no, every time I saw it, I got less interested in it more and more. And then just to see how it was, you know, received from people, it's like, okay, I'm kind of glad I just like did not fall into that. But Guardians of the Galaxy, it was like instant. I dig this. I really love this. And I totally feel this vibe. And yeah, like you said, like the more you see it, the more like, you know what? I can play this. I can enjoy this. This looks like fun. So that's like, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, definitely digging the vibe there. So next thing we have here. So nothing on Astria Ascending. Nothing there. It's just one of those games right now. Okay, so 2 Point Campus, Super Monkey Ball, Banana Mania, Mario Party Mayhem. Any thoughts on those?
So 2 Point Hospital, which is the previous iteration, is a lot of fun. 2 Point Campus, the same, seems like the same quirky fun. I probably get it. I'm gonna be honest, Super Monkey Ball, Banana Mania, I know they're celebrating their 20th anniversary. Was not my jam.
That was not your jam. Okay.
And the thing is funny because I really love monkeys, but no, it really wasn't. However, the one that surprised me, because I've missed, I think the last couple Mario parties too, I like the Mario Party Superstars. I really dug that. And then they have old boards that they're going to be coming back into there, over 100 mini games. I'm like, this looks like a lot of fun. And Mario Party, it is. It really is. It's just that the last couple of iterations, it didn't spark that same type of fun as their older series. And the fact that they said that they're going to be picking some from like the N64. I'm like, what? Yes, please.
Right.
Yes.
And I think
I need a reason to be mad at my friends.
Yes. I think that one they mentioned that's going to be online play, right? All that stuff.
That's amazing. I love that. I love that.
Yeah. So for me, I'm really... Again, it's because it's one of the systems that I started out with. I always love seeing things that come out. Now, the going from enjoying what I'm seeing to actually owning a system, that's been a couple of years. I haven't owned a Nintendo system in a long time. But I still enjoy everything that they do. It's just exciting to see everything that they have out now. And, you know, even some of the things coming up. So Just Dance, thinking about it, gonna get back in at some point.
I buy Just Dance like every 2 or 3 years, just because their library is so big and that you can subscribe to it. So it's like I feel like there's a lot of replayability to enjoy it. So I don't necessarily feel like I want to buy every single year. So maybe.
So what about the tracks? You don't look forward to like the tracks.
No, but here's the thing is like when you have like the next one comes out, it usually comes with the ones that came before. So I'm okay with it. And because the library is so big and you can expand on it, you're not really stuck playing like, you know, the same 40, 50 or 60 songs. There's a lot. There's hundreds of songs in there and different difficulties. So it doesn't go dry. So that's where I feel like, okay, I can miss whatever is the most current right now, because if I wait, say, till next year for Just Dance 2023, it's going to have, you know, the songs from 22 and 21. I'm not missing out. I'm okay with that.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. That's dope stuff. Cruisin' Blast. That was pretty dope. Ultimate Dragon Ball Z Experience, Mario Golf, Super Rush. Any thoughts on those?
Kakarot is awesome. So if you can get it, get it. If you haven't played it yet. Those are my only thoughts about it. The other games didn't look bad. I'm just not personal preference.
Yeah. Mario Golf caught my attention. That was cool. I would play that. I would definitely play that. Cruisin' Blast, definitely memories, a lot of memories playing that game at the arcade. So I haven't really done any Dragon Ball Z in a long time, but definitely Mario Golf Super Rush, that caught my attention. Cruisin' Blast caught my attention. And again, as we mentioned at the top of the show, the Nintendo universe and their sound is just so amazing, what they're able to do with their games and their sound effects and all that good stuff. Next couple of jams here, Monster Hunter Stories 2, WarioWare, Get It Together, Shin Megami Tensei 5, I believe. Thoughts on those?
You go first.
Michael first?
Going first. You go first.
Because why not? So Monster Hunter, I definitely like what I saw there. Wario, I thought that they were done with Wario. I didn't realize that they were still making games on the Wario stuff. So WarioWare Get It Together was an absolute surprise. Shin Megami Tensei 5, I didn't realize it was a high school situation that was an alternate universe situation for that game. I thought it was a fighting game for the most part. I didn't realize it was somewhat of a hack and slash to some degree, mixed with, you know, some tactical things by way of RPG elements. From what I gathered from the game, I thought it was a fighting game for some reason. But I was actually surprised that even in the introduction of the story, and what I like what they did with that Shin Megami Tensei, which I've never played, but what I liked is even though it was the fifth installment of the game, they introduced the story as something brand new that caught my attention at the beginning. I was like, oh, this is cool. This is a cool narrative. High school is boring, but yet you get pulled into an alternate universe. And I was like, well, I wasn't expecting that. And then when they put the name of the game on the screen, I was like, oh, this is what this game is about. So that's the emotions that was going with me, running with me when I was watching that. So that caught my attention. Wario, I never really got into Wario like that. Monster Hunter, I still need to watch the movie, which I'm sure you didn't, but I'd be surprised if you did. So thoughts on those?
Okay, so going back to Shin Megami Tensei, now that you know that and you saw that, is it a series that you're interested in trying now?
I would try it. Yeah, if I had a Nintendo, I would try it, sure.
Only if you got Nintendo.
Well, it's not... PC. Is it on PC? I don't know. Is it on PC?
I don't know. I didn't look. No.
Yeah, I mean, if it's on PC.
I think the original ones are on PC.
Okay.
I think. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think it's one. I know it's on it somewhere on top of there. But yeah, there's a lot in that series.
Yeah, the way things are happening now and the flexibility of how we're getting our games now, it seems like everything is going to be on every platform at some point, right? If Nintendo allows it.
That's the dream.
Right.
But WarioWare, I haven't played for a hot minute or anything. If there was anything that came out and titled within that universe of WarioWare, I have a slight list when it comes to W's and R's. But I bought WarioWare Smooth Moves on the Wii, and it is so much fun. And I saw this, and I'm like, I like that goofy kind of fun and that party kind of game fun. So it might end up being on my list.
Okay. How's your backlog these days? How's it going?
Ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It really is. I've been so good about trying not to buy any games, but there's some titles that were announced. And you know, here's the crazy thing about Nintendo. I know this is getting into the middle of it. We're not quite through. Is a lot of these titles, like, yeah, you got some that are coming out 2022, or hey, we have an announcement of like, yeah, we're working on this, but a lot of them are slated to release this year. And I'm like, no, don't do this to me right now.
Yeah, they are.
But I think that's awesome. Like WarioWare, that's on the September 10th. So I'm like, okay, I got a couple months, but then, you know, there's a couple games you're going to be talking about a little bit later. And I love that. I love that. And I'm also terrified of that because I want to play them all.
Yeah, but I mean, you've been good, right? You've been good.
I have been good, but it doesn't mean I'm like, oh, okay, by you.
Right.
And I think, well, like, we're going to be talking about indie games like in our next show. But I love that the indie games I love are like coming soon. I'm like, thank goodness.
Yeah, it's so much. It's so much, but at the same time, I just love the variety that we're getting, no matter what the platform is right now. So what else do you have for anything on Shin Megami?
No.
Okay, so this one was new to me. I didn't know what this was. Danganronpa Decadence?
I think I've talked to you about Danganronpa. I love this.
I don't remember that we talked about this.
Okay, so I played it on PC. It's a fantastic series. It's a murder mystery whodunit, and it's very text heavy, but it has a great story. So each one, like of the three that I've played, which is included in this, there's four in this Decadence pack. The fourth one being in the board game, which I haven't played, but the other three is like, you have Monokuma, which is this like evil teddy bear who like kidnaps, you know, these students. You don't know why, you don't know what happened, you don't know how to get there, but like they kind of start dying off, and then you have to pick up these clues and you kind of have this trial, but not like a Phoenix Wright kind of trial. It's a very intense like mini game thing that goes on, and where you are, you know, you're taking these statements, you're trying to figure it out, put piece this thing together. And I'm trying not to give any spoilers out, because when you get to the end of it and you get these plot twists, you're just like, what? It's a fantastic series. So if you haven't played it, you need to. You really, really need to. It's crazy. And when I used to play it on stream, not a whole lot of it has a lot of voice acting. So I would try my best. Very fun, but after a while, your throat starts to hurt. I used to try to like voice act all these different characters, and there's like 14. I think the first game had like 14 different characters. So I'm like, after a while, I kind of was glad that they started dying off, because that reduced how many characters I had to keep
that you had
up
to
with.
Keep reading aloud,
but
kind of thing.
It just made it fun, and the story, like, you don't have to voice act it. I just added that because I thought it would be fun. And you know, just to go through that experience and the story, it's so good. The plot twists are so good. So yeah, that's my love. I love Danganronpa.
Okay, nice. Next one, Fatal Frame Maiden of Black Water, Doom Eternal. I'll throw that in there, and also Tony Hawk 1 and 2. What do you got?
So it's cool that they're getting Doom Eternal and Tony Hawk 1 and 2, but of those three, Fatal Frame, Maiden of the Black Water, I am there for it, and I am living for it, and I was so stoked. I think it was a
really good
short, like less than a minute little teaser trailer. They didn't dive into it, but it's not a new game, but it is kind of a little bit remastered. They added a couple things. It originally came out on the Wii U. I didn't have a Wii U, so the fact that they're having it now for the Switch, I was like, Yes, I get to play this. I get to experience it. I love the Fatal Frame series. And this is the fifth one. What is the name of the fourth one? I didn't get to play the fourth one either, because I think it wasn't localized for US yet.
Okay.
And I really wish that they would have done it. And it really bummed me out that they don't have it yet. So I'm hoping that because they're just like moving this over, that maybe that will come later down the line. But Fatal Frame is basically Japanese horror, which I think Asian horror movies, period, are really scary. Doesn't matter what region or
Asia, I agree.
It is. They're scary. And the only thing that you're really equipped with is a camera. And it's not like a fun Pokemon Snap camera.
No, and that's the only way you can defeat the enemies. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it is. So I'm pretty stoked about that. Yes, please.
Okay. So Doom Eternal, of course, that's always dope. Tony Hawk 1 and 2, iconic legendary game there. So let's go to Strange Brigade, Advance Wars, and Mario plus Rabbids, Sparks of Hope.
And I might actually give this Mario game a try.
I mean, it looks good.
Because they look so... Okay, so I already have Mario Stars tattooed on me, but then like you have the Rabbit Mix remix in there. I'm like, oh, I love these goofy looking stars.
Yeah, I mean, it looks really good. It looks really good. It's Mario. How could you not love... I don't think I've ever met anybody who didn't like Mario.
I don't like him. I just don't like all his games.
Right. So, but that's few and far in between, right? That's a loaded question.
That is a loaded
question. Yeah, as I said it, I thought about it. I was like, okay, whoa.
I think the last Mario game, like actual Mario game, not some like one off of it.
Yeah.
Might have been like eight or nine years ago.
Okay.
I can't even remember what it was. I didn't play Galaxy.
Shame on you. What? I even played Galaxy. Okay.
We're just gonna leave with that one.
Yeah, we'll move on. We'll move on, okay? Please, let's move on. Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity, Expansion Pass. There's that. And then also Skyward Sword. That was mentioned, but Mario and Rabbids, I just want to mention that real quick. It looks really good. I dig everything that they're doing there. So Hyrule Warriors and Skyward Sword, thoughts on those?
Skyward Sword is really cool. I don't know if I'll play it. I'm just looked at they got that going. Now, Hyrule Warriors, I really do want to play, but again, I've been trying really good. I didn't realize it's already been out long enough for them to have the expansion pack coming out.
Yeah.
And like what I really dig is like, I think when we first announced it, what I really loved, it has that remix of, you know, Dynasty Warriors.
Exactly.
Zelda, just like hack and slash and destroy everything as Link. I think that's really cool. So I am really super behind on that.
Yeah. In terms of minutes watched, like on a stream for me, I mean, it's a beautiful thing to watch. I think that's the most I've watched of any kind of Zelda world game, if you want to put it in that world. It's beautiful. It is definitely something that is worth the time.
Hey, I'm getting there. You need to get a Switch.
Yeah,
I'm
I do.
Ahead at least.
Yeah. You're ahead of me. You're definitely ahead of me on that. But yeah, Hyrule Warriors looks amazing. I've seen a couple of streams. I really like what I saw there. Skyward Sword. That looks amazing as well. I think the date they mentioned there is July 16th. So look for that. Next thing there was an actual surprise. I don't know if it was a surprise for you, but it was definitely a surprise for me. The Zelda game and watch, I would say mini handheld. What'd you think about that?
That thing was actually pretty cool. I don't know if I would go with this. It feels really like just more of a collector's item. Like, yeah, you can play it and experience, like, you know, what is it? Zelda 1, 2, and 3, the first ones, to like where it really began. But for me, if I bought it, it would just be for collectors. I don't know if I would want to play it. Like, I'm getting to the age where my hand cramps up holding my phone.
I'm trying to see the name of the games that they...
I just say.
Let me see. Able to play First Century.
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda, right? Zelda 2, Adventure of Link, and Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. And then the fourth game is a Vermin game. So you have four things on there. And I think that's cool. And I'm with you with the fact that it is a collector's item. I know there's other companies that makes dope handhelds. Like I think Analog makes one of those companies. They make handheld devices for, you know, past systems, and they do a fantastic job there. I don't know if I would go with this versus one of their systems, right? Because of, like you said, it's small, and now you're like, you know, you're trying to not hurt yourself. you're trying not to hurt yourself as you're playing these Zelda games, these iconic games of ages past. That we keep seeing over and over again. But they didn't mention price, did they?
I don't remember price.
I don't recall them mentioning a price. Maybe I just
missed it. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy.
$49.99? What do you think?
Yeah. Definitely under 60, I feel.
Right. Yeah,
if it's more than 60, I'm going to be amazed. I'm going to be amazed if it's more than 60.
Yeah, I don't know if they... Right, I don't know if they priced it or not. I didn't even look at the article. That I was just checking out to see if they priced it. It actually is $49.99. Look at that. Looking for the best VPN in the world? Your search is over. From the makers of Proton Mail comes Proton VPN, the best free VPN in the world. Proton VPN is Swiss-based, has a no-locks policy, offers the highest strength encryption, strong VPN protocols, and all apps are open source and audited. To try Proton VPN for free, visit andrew-alliance.com/tools. Once again, that's andrew-alliance.com/tools. That was a guess.
Oh, good for you.
That was a guess.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, that's about what I would expect it to be.
Yeah, if it was more than that, it would be a turnoff. But look what you're getting for $50, though. Something that could cramp your hands.
Yeah, but you get three full games.
You do.
Three iconic games. So
you do.
There's a good, you know, price exchange that, you know, play three fantastic titles, probably for this fourth one, which I've never heard of.
So
it features Link for $50.
Yeah, $9.99 each title, you'd say?
What is that?
$9.99 each title, you'd say? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that, which isn't bad.
Not too bad, right? Yeah, so that's dope. That's dope. On any final thoughts on that one?
I don't want arthritis.
You don't want
so if I buy it, it'll be a collector's item that I keep in the box.
Right, absolutely. All right, so the last two, and then we'll wrap. Metroid. I'm excited.
I love how you started. Like, last year we announced this, but we're not going to talk to you about that because it's quite not done yet until later. So here's a new one.
Oh, man.
That was actually pretty cool that they came out and they announced that, which I think comes out a little bit later this year, right?
Yeah, like, wow. I mean, I don't know if anyone said anything because I stayed away from social. Didn't want to see anything. I just wanted to go in. Oh, that's for the best. I enjoyed every minute of the Nintendo Direct. And then Metroid popped up on the screen. I was like, wow, that's all I have. 19 years since a Metroid game. All I have is wow. Everything was wow. Daniela, do you have more thoughts than wow? That's all I have.
No, your wow sums it all.
I mean, were you shocked? Were you expecting a Metroid anything to be shown? Like, what were your expectations going in?
I was expecting a Metroid update about, you know, what they've been working on. That's what I was expecting. Not something like, here's a whole new thing that we've got for you instead. Like, oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, it does. That's the amazing thing is that they don't have an update about what they announced like last year. So they're still working on that. That's cool. That's fine. But the fact that they've been working on this game, they're showing it to you, and oh, you get to play it in October. Not 2022, not 2023, but this October in 4 months, less than 4 months. I'm like,
all right. So tangent for you. What company does it like that? Would we say that's the blueprint for how games should be announced and prepped? Like, what other company would you say does that, right? Because we didn't expect a Metroid game. Well, I mean, you had expectations. I had zero. So I'll speak for myself. I didn't expect to see any Metroid anything, right? Then we get to see this amazing thing that we saw. And I thought it was absolutely amazing. And then from there, you get a date that is tangible. If, you know, everything goes well, it's not moved. Like, what other company that we can say does that blueprint and that, I guess, those set those expectations where they're not, they don't upset us, right? There's no outrage. We just kindly wait 19 years for a game, okay? And you know what I mean? Like, can we think of any right now?
No, I think the last game that kind of came out and released and just did really well with no marketing, no, hey, you're going to see this next month or later on this year was Apex.
Right.
And that's doing amazingly well. And I think right now, like just overall that does it successfully each time is Nintendo. Because we all know Nintendo is going to do whatever Nintendo wants to do, and we're going to support it, and we're not going to complain about it. We just accept it because it's Nintendo.
Right.
And that's fine. I think that it works out great. It works out great for us as consumers, as gamers. because they have so much to offer already. There's a lot of things they announced today that was just fantastic. And they're going to be coming out whenever they come out. A lot of it is this year. And I think what other studios do is like they put it out way, they announce it way too early, or they have that build up to it, but then it doesn't meet the expectations, or they announce it too early and then they're like, this is way too early. This we should have waited. This, or they just, their marketing just drops out. We don't hear from it again for like, I don't know how long. And that's the thing, is like, I don't mind knowing what you got going on in the pipeline. I don't want to be waiting 2-3 years because I'm going to forget about it. If right. you announce a game that I'm going to see in the next 6 to 9 months, oh, I'm down for that. That's great. That's awesome. That time will go by so quickly. Don't tell me something that's going to come in like holiday of 2022, or you're just going to slap on 2022 because you don't know what date you can, you know, stick with.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They just do it really, really well. So everything that I saw for Metroid Dread was really, really dope. I mean, there's nothing that you could say. And especially, you forget you're waiting 19 years for a game as soon as you see this today, right? It doesn't seem like it's been that long. Even though kids have been born, marriages have been done, right? 19 years is a very long time to not release a game, especially if we've been asking for it for such a long time. So definitely kudos to them for, we got a peek of that, and looking forward to seeing more of that in the near future. And last but not least, and definitely this game as well has inspired many games that we see out now in the same kind of format where you're gliding with your, yeah, whatever was it? You're gliding with your clothes, whatever that thing is that you glide with. So Breath of the Wild, the sequel, has inspired many games that we even play now. So that looked amazing as well. So thoughts on that?
Okay, before we get into it, because, you know, you're going to close it out with, it's a pretty big announcement that people are stoked with. The one thing that we didn't touch upon that I'm also excited is the great Ace Attorney Chronicles.
Okay, so talk to us about that. Give us the scoop on that.
Okay, so if you don't know the notice the trend, I really like the murder mystery kind of thing and solve and point and click and novels and stuff like that. So that's what it is. And so this one is, you're getting like two games, which wasn't originally available in the US, and now it will be. And it goes back to the very beginning, like his ancestors, that you're going and you're going to be solving these mysteries. I'm stoked on it. Yeah, it's like it's announced on the, like, Nintendo, but like at the same time, like it's also going to be available on PlayStation. And now I don't know which one I want to play it on. It doesn't matter to me because I'm just excited.
Pick one. Who are you going to play?
I don't know yet. I'm probably going to play it on my Switch. To be honest, I'm probably going to play it on my Switch because that's where on Nintendo is where I originally started playing Ace Attorney. So it kind of just makes sense. Like, let's just stick with it and play it on the Switch. I'm like really stoked and really excited for that. Like, yay.
No, that's awesome.
Comes out next month, July 27th, which again, we're just going with like, why got to come out so quickly like that?
Was that announced before the E3 stuff or?
They kind of did, but it's not like it was really like super, like it was kind of announced that it was going to be coming out, but it wasn't like super advertised. So now you have it next month, ending of next month, like 6 weeks from now. Yay!
No, that's dope. That's dope. Definitely. Thank you for bringing that up. That's, hey, listen, that's more games on your backlog.
You be quiet. I don't need your judgment. I don't need this. Don't be, you know, a dream killer here.
Okay, all right, all right.
I'm playing this one because you get two of them. You get the great Ace Attorney Adventures, like and the Adventures 2 Resolve. I'm like,
okay, fair enough. Yeah. All right, so we have we've seen some awesome things today. I really enjoyed the Nintendo Direct and a lot of great games to look forward to, which is absolutely amazing. We talked about Ace Attorney, and we brought in Metroid Dread, and definitely Breath of the Wild deserves the praises because not only that it has inspired some great games that we currently see on the market today. Even what we saw during the Nintendo Direct was absolutely amazing as well. So those are some quick thoughts there. I think it's really, really dope. Daniela, what do you got on Breath of the Wild sequel?
It is such a beautiful game, and I've been really slacking and really holding off on playing Breath of the Wild 1. There's no specific reason. It's just that I get intimidated by some games. I'm going to be honest with that. I think I can be honest with myself about that. There are certain games that intimidate me. Like, I'm like, that's a lot to take on. So, and it's different too, compared to, you know, all the previous Zelda games and it's, you know, in its lineup. It's different. I think it took a while for me to kind of accept that, to be okay with it. It's not that I thought anything was wrong, but me, for some reason, at some point in my old age, change started getting really scary to me. But no, it is a beautiful game. And so when they were showing off Breath of the Wild 2, if that's the name that they're going to be sticking off with, I think they should call it Skyrule. But like the fact that he can just, it's not just in Hyrule, but in the skies above it too, and to see the flying, it was beautiful. I don't know any other word I can use to explain it other than amazing.
Managing your income stream should not be a hassle. That's why I use Catch Financial. As an independent, Catch allows you to manage your income streams on autopilot, prepare your taxes, and more. To get set up on Catch, visit andrew-alliance.com/tools. Once again, that's andrew-alliance.com/tools. Yeah, I really loved everything that I saw there. There was one part where the character went through the rock and popped out the other side. Yeah. I was like, what is that? It's like your own tunnel that you can do or something. I thought that was really neat. Wasn't really expecting that. But so the question I had for you when you were explaining that some games kind of like you have to, I guess, wait or decide when you're going to play them. Is it because of a scale thing? Like, what do you think that is? Is it you wait for, I guess, the news around it to calm down before you go in so you're not distracted by this? So what do you think it is? Is it a scale thing based on the game itself, or is it things that are around it?
Oh, no, it's always something kind of different. I don't understand the way my brain works. But okay, there are certain games where I will straight up, because the world is too big, I know I will never get the full experience of it. I know I don't have the time to explore it, to do it justice. Eve is like that. Eve Online, too big of the universe, way too big. Witcher series, I know it's a fantastic series, and I know that like years people have been telling me to do that for Witcher 1, 2, and 3. Way too big of a storyline, of a world for me to explore, for me to be fully, you know, invested into, especially in like a type of, I guess, setting that I don't normally gravitate towards. It's like, it's kind of why I don't really play, like, say, Skyrim. I don't really care for so much for that medieval wizards kind of stuff, even though I do like wizards. Is that specifically is not for me. I'm also, there's certain games where it takes me a while to come around to playing it if it's on a different platform than I originally started with. So like Resident Evil, when I started playing Resident Evil, it was always been on PlayStation. When Resident Evil 4 came out and it came to GameCube and my brother bought it on GameCube, I'm like, nope, I am not playing it on GameCube. I played it on PlayStation. I'm going to continue playing it on PlayStation, and that's where I'm going to be. And eventually I kind of grew out of that because I played Resident Evil, I think the remake. I played 7 and the remake on PC. So obviously I moved away from that, but Final Fantasy 7, that's another great title. I love it. I've always played kind of like Final Fantasy. Like when I transitioned from playing Final Fantasy from Super Nintendo to PlayStation, that was really weird for me. Final Fantasy 7, when I originally played it, it was on PC. It was like 1997 or something like that. Getting me to play it on PlayStation took a while of convincing me. I don't know why I connect certain things like that. It's just a comfort level and familiarity that I don't like to change. And it's always been like that. So when it comes to like, here's this Zelda series and here's how it's always been, and this is how you've always played it and experienced it, having it reinvented, yeah, they did a fantastic job, and I don't have a problem with the way that was reinvented. That you can experience this world, that you can play Link. For me, I was like, but then it's not Zelda. Even though it is still Zelda.
Right.
I have this weird thing about me where it's just like that familiarity that it takes me a while to get around to it, to be like, it's still a great series. It's still a fantastic story. There's nothing wrong with it. Stop being so stubborn and weird. So, and then sometimes I just don't have the time, or I'll buy something and then on some reason I'll catch somebody playing it. I'll see the gameplay and further along and I'm like, well, that doesn't look that fun. Why don't, never mind. I feel like to because of the trailer. Not that that happens a whole lot, but that's happened a couple times to me where like, that's really? Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, that's interesting. I find that very, very unique.
It's difficult. So now that when you have games being available on all platforms, which is fantastic, that games are slowly, you know, becoming available.
Yes.
Across all these different platforms so people can enjoy it on top of their preferred thing. I like it. But then if I go over to somebody, you want to play this? Nope. I'll wait till I get home and I can play it on the console that, or the platform that I feel comfortable with, that I'm familiar with, and makes me feel less weird.
Yeah, I think I'm like that with input. So I'd rather use the controller than use a keyboard and mouse. So I think
I agree with you on that, because that is a big thing for me too. Fatal Frame, played that one on PlayStation. My brother bought, I think, the third one on Xbox. The buttons is basically the same, but yet I kept screwing it up. Same thing with Resident Evil, playing it on a GameCube controller. I'm like, these controls are ridiculous. I cannot.
Yeah.
The amount of anxiety of like holding a different controller in my hand and just not looking, being that weirdo that has to just quickly glance down, where's the X?
Right. Yeah, I can't do that. I've made peace with that a long time ago. So if the game doesn't have it, controller support, then I'm like, okay. I just, either I'm not playing it ever or it gets controller support. But I think at this stage, most of the games that we play, they're able to, you know, have the ability to use both inputs. Most of the games, you know, interchangeably, right? But yeah. So it's awesome that we've gotten here. So yeah, I think I mean, overall, this was great. What do you think?
I really, really loved it. I think I know I said in our last show that I kind of felt like a little bit of lackluster from it. I'm pretty sure I watched all of the showcases that were that they had put on. And the lackluster comes from, I guess, from the core main showcases. So you had Ubisoft, you had Xbox, and you had Nintendo, you had Capcom, were together. It was great. They had some really awesome games to show, some footage that they really liked. But it didn't, there wasn't anything that super surprised me. And then you have to reiterate, like, just announcing Elden Ring at the beginning during the Summer Game Fest, that was like a high bar to set there. That was an incredibly high bar to set. Like, anybody else that's going to be coming out of that, you better like be bringing gold somewhere. But you have like Day of the Dev, you have Guerrilla Collective, even Devolver Digital, you had the Indie Showcase. I think this year for indie games, we'll talk more about that in our next episode. Amazing. I loved it all. I loved everything that was presented there. There wasn't there wasn't anything I really just felt meh about. Like I added like 30 some odd new games to my wish list on Steam. Okay.
I'm only waiting for one
that I'm like watching.
I don't know. I don't even know if they announced it or if they, the Turtles game, I didn't hear anything. I got to go dig.
I don't think I saw anything for Turtles.
Okay. All right. So then it's not just me.
There's a lot of games that was there. So I think based off of like, you know, your personal preference for games, you're going to either love it or hate it. I don't think there's anything to really hate about it. I definitely don't think it should have been a 4 or 5 day event, but I liked how it left off on a high note with Nintendo. And like I started at the beginning of this recording, like normally Nintendo stuff I think is cool, but there's nothing that really super catches me. This Nintendo Direct, there were so many things I loved about it and I was stoked about, and I'm like, I'm pumped. So I feel like you're a great send off for this year's, you know, E3 2021. I just think maybe 2 days would have been more than enough. Mm. Maybe 3 days, have all those showcases. And that is excluding the Summer Game Fest. Like in my mind, even though they're like a lot of people are seeing that as the opening to E3, I'm still seeing that as something separate. You know, if we had a physical one, I really don't picture Jeff Keighley having, you know, having it there in LA, like maybe offsite somewhere else, but not within it directly associated.
Yeah, it was easy to bring everything together the way they did for all the pressers, if you will, which it worked out. And as you mentioned, the Elden Ring being announced at the very top, that was a good wave to ride on for the rest of the showcases. And, you know, games that we're expecting from dope companies like Nintendo, et cetera, et cetera. So I think overall, it was very chill this year, you know, not a lot of traveling. But aside from that, you know, just the ability to still be able to talk about things that we love, I think is still amazing. So I'm excited. I'm excited for what we're seeing. I know there's some games that I'm waiting for because I know I'm going to have to, the replay value for me is going to be high, like the Turtles game, the Shredder's Revenge. So I'm going to go dig to see if there was anything announced, that I just absolutely missed, and that's definitely possible. But aside from that, the Nintendo Direct E3 2021, I think, was really, really dope.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it for what, you know, what they could put on. I'm glad that they didn't cancel it or just decide to hold off. And considering the year that everybody has had, there are still some gem of games, amazing games that were made that is meeting, you know, their launch dates as slated for this year. I think that's fantastic to have that type of work ethic, to be able to work around that and still make quality games. You got to congratulate those, all of the people who put in the work, the programmers, the social media marketing, entire studios that are just figuring it out and just like, we're going to go with this. It's definitely going to be very interesting to see if not just in the gaming industry, but just work overall for those people who had to remote home, just to see if like, are you going to let people continue doing that? Is it going to be a hybrid? What's going to happen? I think this like personal level, I'm just very curious about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see as we move into fall, winter. I mean, summer is just kicking off, right? So as you move into the second half of the year, it's going to be interesting to see how they do the rest of the stuff to keep us engaged in the gaming space. But I think that's all we got. I think that about wraps up episode 588 of the show radio. Daniela, where can they find you?
You can find me just spamming all on Twitter. Okay, I try to really have meaningful conversations and meaningful posts, but you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/MissDJM.
Awesome, awesome. You can find me at Uriah, URIYYA. And until next time, take care.
Bye, guys.